My voice gives out here at some point. I may ask Kevin or Brian to pick up the slack, carry the flag.
Yeah, and if you lose me, don't panic. I'll call back or something. But I'm listening in on mute here. So
okay.
Thanks.
All right. We'll open the administrative portion of the agenda, October 12th, 2011. We have one item on consent.
I move passage of the consent items.
Second.
We're missing Daryl.
Oh, we are. I'll just call it off then. Josh, why don't you step in? All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Let's push that button.
Aye.
Right down.
All opposed? Motion carries and the consent is passed. Actually, Alana's our substitute. I don't know. I don't know where Daryl went.
Oh, well.
Okay.
Tony, quick. I'm on my cell phone, and when we get to the agenda item for the executive session, I expect to still be on, but if for some reason I'm not, Brian, if you want to be prepared to make the motion to go into executive session, that'd be great. Either way, you might as well just be prepared to do it. It'll just be easier.
Sounds good.
Okay, thanks.
All right. Moving on to discussion matters with the commission, we have a Keystone Pipeline investigation update. Pat, your lead on this, and then we've got Dave Barrett on the phone as well.
Sure. Earlier this year, we had an update from Dave Barrett. It was just after the PHMSA issued its corrective action order. And at that time, Mr. Barrett suggested that we maybe have another update after a lot of the documents that were required by the corrective action order that from Keystone, that an update after all those were filed. And Dave Barrett, as you remember, he's the Office of Pipeline Safety Central Region Director. And so I just would turn it over to Mr. Barrett at this point.
Very good. Dave?
Okay. The last time we kind of talked about the corrective action order and the actions that were required, since then there's been progress on all fronts, Keystone addressing the requirements of the corrective action order. One of the preliminary findings in the order related to it appeared to be vibration of small diameter piping connections that caused the failure. The root cause failure analysis has been completed and confirms that initial preliminary finding. Based on the root cause failure analysis and the required vibration study, Keystone has initiated a number of actions as required by the order, including modification of these small diameter piping connections, essentially to mitigate the threat of vibration causing future failures on these connections.
Hey, Dave, if I can ask a quick question, Brian, what do you consider, again, small diameter? Just to get
2 inches smaller, typically.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Just in general, I mean, as we look at this vibration, it's the smaller diameter piping is typically more susceptible to the vibration. The large pipe is, you know, a sufficient mass that it's typically not as much of a concern as it is on the small diameter pipe. And that's, you know, that's what we've seen in the vibration analysis and the failure investigation thus far. So a work plan has been submitted by Keystone. It addresses these modifications. Many of them have been completed. Also, additional testing is underway and nearing completion to validate that the modifications do address the vibration. We also expect some longer-term monitoring to occur at the stations, and so they are developing some processes and procedures around that. So that's kind of where we are. I think, you know, it's been a, you know, this, you know, the short-term vibration concern has been addressed at this point. So we're moving forward on the longer-term actions. Are there any questions or
any questions, Pat?
I just have one for you, Mr. Barrett. Do you think that PHMSA will have any further reporting or conclusion or action in the near future or in the long term?
Sorry, I think the corrective action order is all-encompassing as far as addressing the safety issues. Does that answer the question? I'm not sure exactly what you're thinking.
I guess what I'm wondering is after Keystone has filed its corrective action and its plans for monitoring in the future, will PHMSA draw a conclusion about the integrity of the Keystone pipeline?
Typically, once the terms of the order are satisfied, we would be closing the order.
Does that require closing the order require a formal action by?
They have to satisfy all the requirements of the order and of the work plan. So they would be, and this is typical of any corrective action order, submitting the documentation, any follow-up inspections we do to verify that all the actions have been completed satisfactorily. Then at that point we make a decision and to close the order.
Okay, who makes that decision?
The order is closed here in the region office. I am the one that closes the order.
Okay. Did the commissioners want to have any further future updates by Mr. Barrett or maybe an indication at the point in time when they do actually close the order?
I think an indication when it's closed would be good, and I don't know if there's anything that we need to review at that point. I don't know that we have to say today that we need to set up a call. And this is my own personal opinion. But is there some sort of, I don't know, final document or something like that that can be sent to at least to Pat for a quick review? And
I can let you know when the order is closed. There's typically it's a closure letter confirming that, you know, the requirements of the order have been satisfied and the matter's now closed as far as the corrective action order.
Yeah. I mean, from my standpoint, it would be good to have that, and then at that point we can at least see if we need to bring it up for discussion again or not. But I don't know that we need to commit to anything beyond that.
No, I guess I was thinking kind of same things other than, Dave, tell me this, is that, I mean, we're assuming that they're going to be following the corrective action order and do all the things they're supposed to do, but do you have a sense, based on your experience, how long this might take? And then maybe if you could notify us along the way if all of a sudden they're not doing the things that they're supposed to be doing, that it would be nice to know about that as well.
Okay. Just so you know, any order is enforceable in the sense that, like the last sentence in the order says, you know, failure to comply with the order may result in civil penalties or, you know, some other enforcement action by us. So that's always something we have out there. If they continue to follow their plan as indicated, I think the order is comprehensive and puts everything in place as far as, you know, getting this resolved.
But do you have a time sense, though, Dave, based on your experience of what we're looking at here? Is this 12 months? Is this 24 months? I mean, there must be some range.
I think we're probably looking towards the first part of next year. the first or second quarter.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Anything else?
That's what I have on my part, and okay. Thank you for your time.
Very good. Thanks, Dave. Looks like we're done here, so feel free to hang up anytime.
All right, goodbye.
Thanks. B2, Otter Tail Power application to serve East Devil's Lake Outlet Pump Station. Patrick. Okay. Which Bruce are we calling in?
Gerhardson, maybe?
Gerhardson.
It's a guess. I think I saw his name on this.
Kevin, are you still there?
You're next, Doug, just so you know.
Not contagious anymore. Like I said, I feel great. What's that? Oh no, I've already had it the last few days. I'm on the mend. It's just my.
Let's see that you must be.
No, I never had a sore throat. I must have something else. I just had sinuses, but.
Hello, this is Bruce.
Hi, Bruce. This is Tony Clark at the PSC.
Hi.
Hi. Do we want to try to... Let's try to patch in Kevin. You'll be on hold for a moment.
Thank you.
Voicemail box of Kevin Kramer. I'm unable to take your call right now, but leave a message. I'll get back to you as soon as possible. Thanks for calling and have a
message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
That's definitely a flaw in the system. When it goes to voicemail, you can't. Dump that one and return it.
Gerhardson.
Is on the phone.
Oh.
Hi, you've reached Bruce Gerhardson, Associate General Counsel for Otter Tail Power Company.
Is he still... Bruce, are you there?
No.
Thank you.
Hi.
I'll try Bruce one more time.
Hi, this is Bruce.
Hi, Bruce. This is Tony again. Sorry we lost you for a little bit.
Yes, and you know, I think that it because I'm not a participant, only calling in order to listen in, and because the web service seems to be working fine, if it's too much complexity to have me on the phone, I can go satisfactorily by the web, if that's okay with you.
Oh, no, that's fine. We've got you on now, and
okay.
It looks like Kevin's unavailable on his cell right now, so we will just move ahead.
Thank you.
All right. And just in case we have a question, you'll be on the line.
Okay.
Okay, our second agenda item is Otter Tail Power's application to serve East Devils Lake Outlet Pump Station. We've got filings and reply briefs, and Pat, you're our lead on it. So
and
go ahead.
All those things very recently.
Right.
And so staff is thinking we would probably like to ask that we schedule some kind of work session.
Makes sense.
And if you have questions today on the legal part of it,
I don't know if there's any decision that we need to make today, other than we know it's being contested, and we'll just have to. I mean, we had started down this road in a previous case, and we never got to any resolution of it. So this is the first time we'll be taking it up. I mean, at least since I've been here, I don't know if there's any other commission precedent on it, but
considering taking it up.
Or considering taking it up, right? Decision not to take it up would be a decision, right? So.
Yeah, I guess that's the only thing is for the work session. I guess that's what I'd be curious to know is just the legal background and I almost just started out with that because I don't know there's much to discuss.
I mean, we'll need a memo, but.
Yeah, ahead of time to review and all that. So that's what I'm looking for right now because I've read through all the information and they both make their arguments.
You do have a companion case now, a complaint case.
How does that tie into that? I mean, because when I read that, I said, okay.
Well, one of the things I could say today, if I were asked for anything legal, is that in the 4903, there's a whole section on enforcement of the act, and it says file a complaint. You know, so yeah, that's one of the things we could have been talking about, and there was a complaint filed. What, yesterday, Pat, or this morning?
We received an email yesterday, and we docketed the hard copy this morning.
Yeah, and we gave it a new case number, but it's been distributed. It probably didn't maybe get into your meeting file. It's related, and it's part of the same discussion.
So a complaint, even though we haven't made a decision?
Right.
I mean, that's about what it comes down to, right?
Right. That's because that's... There is an enforcement section that says somebody's about to violate the act. Somebody else can file a complaint. So they were just following that section. So I just wanted you to not miss that and know that there's two docket numbers to discuss on the work session.
Okay.
We will lay out what we can of a legal framework.
Yeah, I think a work session is the way to go. And what time do we have a timetable on this that we need to have it?
I would think the sooner the better,
I would agree.
This will be a hot topic on not so much whatever we decide, we'll decide, but there's folks that want power to this thing, I think, pretty quick.
Well, and power can be provided on a temporary basis regardless, right? It's not binding on anything that happens or...
Under the TIA, under our precedent, PSC precedent in the TIA... It's not binding on anything.
Right. It is what it is.
That TIA track, and there is an argument that it's not in the TIA track, so I don't know what temporary construction does to that track. But we will, these are the things that we need a work session for because you need to go slowly through the different.
Well, but that is the, when Pat and I visited, that was the one concern that I had. The last thing I want is the commission holding up power coming to a Devil's Lake outlet. And so, this thing, who knows where it could go. We could be tussling over this legally a year from now. But I want to make sure that there's power at this pump station.
I don't think that there's anything in the commission's jurisdiction that would cause any delay to power going to the pump station.
Have they given us anything when they anticipate? I don't think it's going to be this fall.
I saw April 2012 in there.
Okay, so they're looking at this first spring they can start this.
I don't remember exactly. Yeah.
Well, looking ahead, how long do you want to sort through this before a work session?
This afternoon is open.
It would not hurt to have a preliminary one. If there's going to be extensive, detailed legal research, which there will need to be at some point, you may be asking for some of that from the parties as well as from staff.
Okay.
Preliminary legal tracking. I mean, we could talk about it today, or we could talk about it in a few days. I was going to go home, though, not being well today. But
I was just giving you a hard time, Alana.
Yeah, but it doesn't have to be too far down the road.
How about the 17th? That's pretty good for me. Monday?
Of October?
Mm-hmm.
We already got something at 2 o'clock on the 17th.
Morning is wide open.
Yeah, that'd be fine.
Is Kevin all right? Should we say 10 a.m. on the 17th?
I got a meeting at 10:30 on the 17th. I could move that, but it could go 9:30.
You could do 9.
9 would be good.
Okay. 9 o'clock, 17th, preliminary work session.
Pat, do you have the case number for the complaint case handy?
I don't.
Here it is. Just for the record, 11654.
Okay. Yeah, two cases.
Right, two cases on the work session. Yeah.
11542 and 11654.
Okay. Anything else on that?
Just a question, maybe if I could ask Harlan. Have they named a new CEO of Nodak Electric just on a sidebar?
No, they have not.
Okay. So George is still...
It would be decided before the end of the year.
Sure. Okay. Thanks.
All right. Just for scheduling, I'm going to suggest, we've got three that will come up first, but we'll handle four last, because we're going to be going into executive session for that, so anybody who wants to get out can. And we'll take five and scheduling before we take B4. B3, Lake Region College Wind Turbine. Brian.
Just so I get some background and talk with the fellow commissioners. Lake Region is in the process of building a 1.5-megawatt turbine north of the campus. I was in discussion with them a year ago, and I was up there and toured it back when the rules were we wouldn't have anything to do with siting. Their construction schedule slipped. Basically, they need to have our approval on it. But in talking with, Annette a little bit, I just wanted to have some discussion here about it. It seems to me that in our rules package, we could have something that would address one turbine that would, short of a full-blown hearing. But I guess that's where I wanted to segue off.
And there have been discussions about having the fast-track permitting process for, I think, under 25. Annette, maybe you want to come up to the mic and talk about what the status is of that rules update.
And then how it would work if the rules, because it takes a long time to get these rules blessed, I get that, but in the interim,
the rules package is still pending. We don't have it even ready to go out the door yet, and if we did, we'd still have to go through the rulemaking process with the AG's office and the legislature and have our notice, and our hearings. In this situation, I think it might be appropriate, because that rules package is pending and this is one turbine, if Lake Region just asks for some waivers of the existing procedures, and I can certainly sit down with them and kind of walk them through what they would need to do.
That would be a good way to handle it. And we have waiver authority on siting applications fairly broad, right? It's not a huge burden of proof to do it, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Under the existing rules, the way they are.
Do we have a sense of a timetable when, I mean, not specific to the Lake Region case, but for when the, or it, let me ask it this way. Do we have a sense of a timetable? And then if we don't, does it make sense to move certain portions of the rulemaking through before others? For, if there's one really sticky one that's holding up, five other ones that we could act on before that. Does that make any sense as far as how we stage this, or is it really have to be a package where you can't move any single part before the entire package is ready?
I guess that one I defer to Amana as general counsel.
I mean, do we have four of five done and ready, but five is causing the hang-up, or is it?
Well, I think you could do it in segments, but the problem is that the meeting that we had scheduled was canceled at the last minute from some conflicts and has not been rescheduled. So even that general topic, like could we break this into do sooner, do later, was not discussed. We just have to go back and have that work group get.
And the meeting is basically what our you and Annette and the Empower, right, Sandy and that
group that started everything, because everything is about 75% done. And we talked about after that then having Annette be, you know, taking more control of the processing, but we wanted to have that first meeting, and it got canceled the day of, I believe, or the day before, very last minute, and not rescheduled.
By members of the committee.
So we have to kind of have that meeting and then see if we can.
So with the waiver of a potential project, any project, that's not subject to the rules, that there's apples and oranges.
Right.
But what would what would we give a perspective, someone to who, is there a procedure they could follow? I mean, we've got very good, if you want to cite a 100-megawatt wind farm, we can give them exactly here's what to look at. But is there something that we can give folks potentially looking at waivers to look at, or how do we best proceed forward on that?
I guess, I mean, the waiver we generally grant is the waiver of the waiting period between a letter of intent and a siting application. That's the first waiver that we would need to grant, and I think we would have to do the same in this case. I think they'd have to file a letter of intent and ask for that waiver, and then they would also have to ask for a waiver for the actual application. And I think we have done some of those in some cases too, probably not to the extent that we would need to in this case because of the scope of this project.
How creative can we be without rules that are out there and saying...
That's what I was going.
You know, basically just say, look, we'll approve a waiver contingent on certifying that, you know, and they come up with the list of... you certify you're not...
Setbacks and
you're not putting it on
bunnies on
a burial site. I mean, it's a cultural historic environment, you know, that you just certify that these things aren't going to be violated by that one turbine. And if they sign an affidavit to that effect, then good enough. I mean, does that... makes sense. I envision it as almost very similar to what we do with, say, pipeline companies that are upgrading a pumping station on a previously sited piece of land, and they just certify that the requirements have basically been met.
I think if Lake Region presents the information, files their letter of intent and presents enough information to you that you feel good about the project and what they're proposing, I think that would be a possibility. They just have to get all that information before you in a docket so we have that information.
Okay. We'll task you with working with Lake Region and coming up with that.
We'll do.
Is the test model perfect. Jerry, do you have anything you'd want to throw in that? Any things we monkey wrenches that you'll throw into this plan?
I think there is some cases in the past where we've substituted a notice of opportunity for hearing, for having a hearing in these things, and so maybe there's some room in that aspect. So,
okay.
I think our number one priority just needs to be to get the information and get a docket so we can decide how to move forward. I will work with them on that.
Great.
I think they had been talking to a consultant on the application. I've talked to a few people on the phone over it.
I think that's some of the concern, though, with these quote-unquote small wind farms. Once you start spending $80,000 in a consultant for one turbine or three, whatever it might be, then it's never going to pencil out.
Yep.
Okay.
I anticipate a fairly streamlined process.
I like
this is the type of turbine that would, in the past, never would have raised a blip. But. Okay.
Fair enough.
Thank you. Let's move to B5, ERA grant funding reduction. Brian?
I think Josh talked to all of us individually, but I thought it was a good idea to reduce it, but I wanted to make sure that everybody else was in agreement before.
I concur. I think it's the right decision.
Because I don't know that we ever had a vote to take the grant. So that's why one thing I think we just kind of agreed.
I don't know. I don't remember exactly how it was.
I think there must have been must have been a motion to approve the grant.
I would think so. We signed it, probably, I'm sure.
Oh, wait. Yeah. So, but yeah, I think I'm fine reducing it. There's no reason.
Josh?
They're going to send us a new grant document with the reduced funds. It's just they wanted to give us one last opportunity because once we allow them to reduce it,
that money's going to California.
That's fine.
All right.
So, yeah, I'll let them know.
Okay. Thanks. Let's move to scheduling. C1, MDU PI meeting. Daryl?
MDU is looking at scheduled PI meeting. They gave me three dates by email, Wednesday, November 2nd, Thursday, November 3rd, and Monday, November 14th. So if any of those dates would work.
Say that again, the 3rd?
Third, neither one.
November 2nd, 3rd, or 14th.
So we're down to the 14th?
NARUC. It's right in the middle of NARUC. Actually, none of those work.
How about some more dates, Daryl?
That's the dates they gave me, so
why don't you go back to get more dates from them?
Okay, will do.
The
mid-December?
I don't know if they had a problem with the week of the 7th. That one early in the week looks much better for me. But I see we have a commission meeting on the...
the week of November 7th?
Yeah, actually the 7th or 8th.
7, 8, 9 are all good. We have a commission meeting on the 10th, but maybe it could take the place of an informal at 1:30 on the 10th.
Okay. I'll check with them.
1:30 and the 10th.
Even the 11th. I mean, that whole week is good for me.
That whole week is good. Okay.
No, it's not. The 10th and 11th won't be good. That's Veterans Day is the 11th and the 10th.
Oh, that's right.
Veterans. All right.
Yeah. But 7, 8, 9 are wide open.
All right. Let me check with them again, and then I will get back with you.
Okay.
And then I asked Pat to add on Granville Pipeline Safety Update. And we put down some dates of October 27th, 28th, and 31st that worked for me and Pat.
Okay, so we're back in October.
Morning of the 27th.
That's good for me.
How about for...
I didn't bring Kevin's calendar.
Oh, okay.
I thought he was going to be online.
27 and 28 are both fine for me.
Can you just check, Pat, with Esther and for Kevin, and if one of those... if they don't work, then is the 31st in the afternoon good for you, Tony?
31st is great.
Okay, so we have dates that work for us.
Three dates.
Yeah. That was it.
Okay. With that, we just have one agenda item left, which is B4, and we'll go through the legalities here.
I know.
The next administrative agenda item is Beekler Velva 2010 construction project, case number AM-10-37. This matter may be discussed in an executive session. The legal authority for closing this meeting is North Dakota Century Code Chapter 44-04, including North Dakota Century Code 44-04-19.1 and 19.2. The purpose of this executive session is for attorney consultation in this litigation. At this time, a motion would be in order to discuss the case in executive session rather than in an open meeting. Is there such a motion?
I move the commission convene an executive session for attorney consultation in case number AM-10-37, Beekler Velva 2010 construction project.
Second. Is there any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, please call the roll.
Commissioner Clark?
Aye.
Commissioner Kolk?
Aye.
Motion carries. The executive session will be recorded, and all members of the commission are reminded to limit their discussion during executive session to the announced topic. Any collective decision, collective commitment, or other final action by the commission must occur after it reconvenes in an open meeting unless final action is specifically required by law to be taken during the executive session. The prohibition on taking final action during the executive session does not apply to providing guidance or instructions to our attorney or negotiator. I'll now ask any members of the public who are attending the meeting to leave the room. We anticipate adjourning the executive session and reconvening the open portion of the meeting at approximately, someone give me a time, how long you think it will take? Approximately a quarter to noon, 11:45 a.m. The minutes will show that the executive session began at 11:25 a.m., and if I could have all those who